As for earnings at two of America's biggest banks, one up, one down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Investment bank Goldman Sachs said today profits neared $2 billion in its latest quarter. Over at Bank of America, though, the news not so good. The mega bank reported it lost more than $7 billion last quarter. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to talk about it this morning. Hi, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So the B of A report is a little more complicated than a $7 billion loss. Didn't they actually have an operating gain?
Right. Basically, B of A did okay. At least they did better than analysts were expecting. They made about $3 billion just operating the bank. That's making loans, charging fees, that sort of thing. But they wrote off about $10.5 billion. It's what is called goodwill. In this case, it's money they acknowledge that they won't make from customer fees in the future because of credit card reforms passed by Congress. It's when you get down into the details of their operating profit that it gets a little bit complicated. The bank is setting aside less reserves to cover losses on bad loans and mortgages. Chris Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics says several big banks are making the same accounting move.
They still haven't seen their peak losses from taking possession of foreclosed properties. The first quarter this year was the best we are going to see from the banks. And as we get into the end of the year, especially the fourth quarter, the results could be quite gruesome.
Hey, Mitchell, what about B of A and other banks dealing with foreclosures? How's that going to pan out in the future?
Well, as you said, Bank of America and other big servicers, they've been reviewing whether foreclosures were done right or whether they may have cut corners in the legal process. Now, yesterday, B of A said it's checked and it hasn't done anything wrong. So it's going to start seizing homes and selling off 100,000 foreclosed properties again in 23 states. GMAC and other big lenders following suit. But there'll likely be lawsuits from investors and homeowners. There's an investigation by state attorneys general, all of which could muck up the system for a while.
All right, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reporting live. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Yes, down goes the S&P and the NASDAQ, each down about 2/3%. Same for the Dow, actually down 0.7%, 84 points at 11,059. European shares were lower as well today. Asian shares a little higher. This week, Chevron rolled out a new ad campaign. It's called We Agree, and in it, the oil giant highlights efforts to develop renewable energy and create jobs. But before the giant could get the campaign all the way out, pranksters stole the company's thunder. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Chevron expected its new ad campaign would attract interest, says spokesman Morgan Crinklaw.
Chevron's ad campaign is really designed to get people talking about the common ground that we share on key energy issues.
People are talking, but not about common ground. Activists released fake Chevron ads, identical in design, except the phony ads focused on alleged environmental abuses. Chevron spent millions of dollars on its campaign. The pranksters' counter campaign operated on a shoestring budget. Maria Ramos organized the hoax for the Rainforest Action Network.
Honestly, probably something like hundreds of dollars. Not much at all.
Despite the low cost, marketing expert Jeff Gregory with Brand Council says the stunt will undermine Chevron's campaign.
Now people are going to go, Chevron, hey, aren't those the people that got spoofed the other day?
The spokesman for Chevron says the company is considering its legal options. In the meantime, Chevron plans to continue its ad campaign as planned. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by MassMutual, providing insurance coverage for eligible breast cancer survivors at massmutual.com/BC awareness.
Key subsidies for fuel-efficient cars are supposed to expire at the end of the year, tax breaks for hybrids and charging stations among them. But there's a push to keep the incentives around, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Here's how a charging station works. Early adopter Rob Neighbor of suburban Washington's already got one in his garage. Neighbor pulls into home in his special edition Toyota RAV4 EV for electric vehicle. He walks over to a 4-foot metal box and pulls out what looks like a ping pong paddle.
And I put the paddle right into the car, which is a lot like putting an 8-track in a tape deck.
Voila, car starts charging. But the charging station costs $2,000. The federal tax credit covers half the costs. And before it expires in January, Jay Friedland at the advocacy group Plug In America wants Congress to renew it.
If you look at all of the technologies, electric drive, actually running the wheels to the ground on electricity is the most efficient way to do it.
Electric cars are a favored child of the government. It also gives loans to alternative fuel car makers and credits to buyers of plug-in vehicles.
There is an element of picking winners. There's no question.
Analyst Michael Liebreich is with Bloomberg Clean Energy Finance.
In the scramble for clean energy, sometimes that's become a little bit forgotten.
He wants the market to pick technology winners, not the government. Because what if a different fuel turns out better? What if tomorrow's game changer isn't even a car?
You must choose. But choose wisely.
We all remember the Indiana Jones movie where evil Nazi guy picks the wrong Holy Grail. Historically, the feds have chosen poorly too, says energy subsidy analyst Doug Koplow. Take biofuels. Washington has poured millions into energy from plants, even though Koplow says the planning process can eliminate forests and land for growing food, a net minus for the planet.
My concern is that a lot of these narrowly targeted parochial subsidies will miss the bigger picture and therefore make it much more difficult to solve the underlying problem.
Koplow prefers policy that's neutral, say taxing carbon emitters to reflect the true cost of carbon pollution. That treats all the alternatives fairly. But for now, that's politically impossible. So electric car companies say, keep up the subsidies for us, as a way to do something now. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, to save energy, the European Union's banned light bulbs using more than 60 watts. But one German businessman produces higher wattage bulbs and has found a way around the ban. He's marketing his Chinese-made bulbs as heat balls, producing more heat than light. And as for energy saving, the man says he'll give some money to the rainforest. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You don't like the government's education policy? Well, you could always try this.
Placing bets on a lot of different ideas, many of which are bound to fail. But that's kind of the point. Fail hard, fail fast, and let the winning ideas rise to the top.
Race to the top. In fact, I'm Kai Rizdahl. When government goes venture capitalist, maybe we all win. Freakonomics Radio is back next time on Marketplace from American Public News.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.